This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Mason Crosby Show. No Mason on Wednesdays from 12:50 a.m. and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. So they have the bumper music set up, as we've talked about the last couple days. But we don't see what's coming, what song it is. It just says classic rock in parentheses. And
it seems like the Mason Crosby Show gets a lot luckier than the Pack-A-Day radio show.
My question is, like, is this a banger? I know my boys across the street do, like, banger review. And it's like, this is a fun one for sure. But I'm not sure it's a banger. Like, I don't, and maybe I'm too old and I don't know what's a banger and what's a.
I think banger just has positive connotation. I don't think banger needs to be headbanging necessarily.
Fair. Okay, that's fair. I'll take it. So, my name is Mitch Nellis, aka Thunder, at ThunderMKE on Twitter. The responses are rolling in with how many wins you're predicting for the Bucks this season. We want to go right now to Forbes.com, national NBA writer, and he writes for like seven other websites and publications as well. Also covers the Detroit Pistons. He is Matt Issa. Matt, welcome to the show.
Mitch, my man, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I mean, this has got to be like being inundated in the NBA like you are. This has got to be like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and all the things wrapped into one.
You know, I don't get as excited about the opener as other people.
Okay.
It's not bad because, like, this, you know, basketball is like the love of my life. But I don't know. It's just like, I get so overwhelmed. Like, so I've always been that guy. Like, I love food very much. But when I go to a buffet and I see too many options, I get really, really overwhelmed. I just don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
So, like, with the NBA, like, today there's, like, what, 12 games on. Like, I'm going to be like, well, who do I want to watch first? And I have to go to the Pistons game today to watch the Pistons Pacers. But after that, I'm like, who do I want to watch next? I kind of just want to get, like, 3 weeks into the season so I can just, like, have my, like, Wednesday night, okay, I'll pick these two games. I want to watch those. You know what I mean? I just want to get back into
the So you can get a feel for, like, and like, right now there's so many unknowns. Like, we think we know, but 3 weeks from now, we'll have a much better idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We'll be getting closer to having a better idea, for sure.
Exactly. Matt Issa, follow him on Twitter at Matt. So it's Matt with one T, M-A-T-I-S-S-A, 15. I got to ask, and I don't think I asked you last time we were on, why the 15?
Why the 15? Good question. That is my birthday, March 15th. The Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March.
Yes, sir. With A2 Brute.
Yes.
God, man, I'm old when I do stuff like that.
You were kicking it with Caesar back in the day.
Or I paid attention in school. Or I paid attention in school. That's right.
I only know that because I was in like eighth grade. I was telling my student teacher that my birthday was on March 15th. She's like, you know, that's the day they killed Julius Caesar. They told him, beware the Ides of March. And like, as like a 12-year-old, I'm like, oh, well, thanks for ruining that.
Right, yeah. Birthday, down the tubes. That's no fun anymore. All right, so Matt, we're going to get to last night's action and kind of the overall thoughts on NBA, but we do want to start with our Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are in Philly tonight, 6:30 tip. No Chris Middleton, no Joel Embiid, no Paul George. Bucks fans are kind of torn between, I think I represent the segment that's really excited that nationally people don't seem to be talking about the Bucks as being legitimate contenders versus the segment of Bucks fans who are really upset about that because they think we're being disrespected. What do you see for the Milwaukee Bucks this season?
I see a team that has a, They're basically, to me, they're kind of like the Los Angeles Lakers of the Eastern Conference in that I could see them having – they have a wide range of outcomes, right? And the Lakers, it's a little bit different. You know, you're relying on a guy who's incredibly old who last night showed us he still looks very good, and they also have the new head coach and all that stuff. But with the Bucks, it's like your core four. These guys are all, except for, I'm not exactly sure of Giannis' exact age. Is he 30 now? Or
I think he's about to turn 30.
Okay.
I'll check on that, but I think he's still just under.
Giannis is 29. He'll be 30 on December 6th.
There you go. Yep.
Okay. So exactly. So by the time the playoffs roll around, your four best players are 30 years old plus, right? So that's, and if you look at like NBA history, people start to decline after they turn 30 years old athletically. Obviously, that hasn't been happening recently. So the Bucks are playing this kind of like dangerous game with like, Brook Lopez is super important to this team, right? He's basically the heart of this defense. But if he starts to show his age, what happens to this team? If Giannis starts to slow down a little bit, because he's such a freak, right? And he relies so much on athleticism. If Chris Middleton doesn't look like he did in the playoffs, like what happens to this team? If Damian Lillard never like really goes back to the Damian Lillard that they traded for, like what happens to this team? Like you're relying on so much unknown. And then you also have all these young players who like, if one of them, like if AJ Green just becomes like a solid starting caliber player, like in the NBA, like what does that do for this team? Like, does that change things? But on the flip side, like what if none of these things go their way? And I know that you could say this with every NBA team, but I think because the Bucks are relying on so many old players and so many young players who are not like proven young players,
yep,
it makes them more susceptible to this kind of wide range of outcomes. With that being said, on the flip side, if you're a Bucks fan, that's also.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, good sign. That means you really don't know what your ceiling is for sure. This team could very well, you know, challenge any team in the Eastern Conference for everything puts for them.
Yeah, I think that's the hope, is that they get healthy at the right time. And I know there were numerous Bucks fans and probably national pundits as well who saw that the Bucks flamed out in the first round of the playoffs last year against the Pacers and said, oh, you know, oh, it happened again, or, you know, because it happened the year before. But my response to that is like, listen, if the Bucks are going to play basketball without Giannis, they're going to lose. It doesn't matter if you set up the season the right way or what Middleton's status is, or, you know, Dame with the trade and going through some personal stuff last year. Or you made the coaching change, or you didn't have the right bench. None of that matters if Giannis is hurt. And so to me, the key, and this is so oversimplified, but like with any team, if you stay healthy and you get to April and especially to May and you're healthy, you give yourselves a chance.
I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, if you look at every NBA champion, honestly, if you just go back however long, it's usually kind of like a marathon, right? It's who can make the finish line mostly intact. I think the most famous example is like that 2019 Toronto Raptors NBA title when they beat the Golden State Warriors,
yep,
who lost Kevin Durant and then Klay Thompson.
Exactly.
So that's kind of a tale as old as time with that.
So not necessarily Bucks specific. We'll get back to a little Bucks talk. Is there anything in the NBA, like what is the thing you're most looking forward to seeing? Is it a player's development? Is it a team specifically? Like as you look at the NBA landscape, what is that thing that you're like, excited, curious about coming into the season?
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks are really fascinating. I think, obviously, you know, one, because of where they play, but two, they have an interesting roster construction, right? You have Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, right? Two guys who are not known for their defensive ability, but really phenomenal offensive players, right? And Karl Anthony Towns, he occupies a position in the center spot where that's like the most important position for defense. But then you also pair him with a guy like Mikal Bridges, a guy like OG Anunoby, a guy like Josh Hart, like three. Well, Josh Hart's like a above average defender, but OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges are two of the best in the business. So I'm curious about that team in terms of like how far can a defense go? Like how good can a defense be? And then you also have the defensive minded coach in Tom Thibodeau, who never has bad defenses. So how far can a team that doesn't have a good defensive center, but has these really good defensive wings around him and a really good defensive coach go on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm kind of curious about that philosophically. I'm also curious about, like, just to tie it into the Bucks, how much is the physicality that the league's kind of allowing again going to help a team like the Bucks, right? The Bucks don't have, like, a Herb Jones. They don't have, like, this perimeter stopper guy who can slide his feet in front of anybody and keep him in front of them. But they have, like, so many big physical guys who can kind of bump you and get away with some contact and move you off your spot. So I'm just curious to see how much the new rules favor a team like the Bucks and how much they might hurt a team like, let's say, like OKC, who doesn't have as much physicality, even though now they do have Isaiah Hartenstein.
Right. And I think as you talk about that, as it relates to the Bucks, it'll be interesting to see as I transition to, you know, what their roster makeup looks like. And I know we talked about this a little bit in July, but I think it's worth revisiting. Taurean Prince, Gary Trent Jr., and DeLon Wright, the three big offseason pickups for the Bucks. What does that depth do for this team in a team that really lacked that last year? And those are three guys who, you know, they have the experience. Like, I mean, you know, Prince is 30, Wright's 32, Trent's only 25, but these three guys have been through it in the NBA to this point.
Yeah, I think one thing that really dawned on me last postseason, watching like a team like the Dallas Mavericks and watching how they rebuilt their roster this offseason, right, is when you, like, if you can, right, like the Boston Celtics, get yourself the elite role players. Get yourself Derek White, Drew Holiday, two guys you can rely on them to always be steady, always be there for you, always be able to produce, right? But if you can't, okay, try to get as many options as possible. So like the Dallas Mavericks, for example, they have Luka and Kyrie, right? Two guys, put them in pen. They're going to be there to close every game. You can trust them. You know, they'll have their bad games, but they're human. Trust them. And then what they do is they have two center options, Lively or Gafford. They just, like, one of you needs to be hot on any given night. Doesn't matter who, one of you needs to be hot, we'll ride that guy. And then they give themselves four wings. So they got Klay Thompson, Najee Marshall, P.J. Washington, Quentin Grimes. And they're like, I just need two of you every night. Right? I don't need all four of you to be playing well every night. It doesn't matter which two of you. You just need two of you to be able to hit your shots and defend. So with the Bucks, you have Giannis. You have Chris Middleton. You have Brooke. You have Dame. You know, these are veterans. You can rely, as long as they don't age out, you can rely on them. And then it's just like, we need one of you guys. It doesn't matter who, even though you guys aren't, like, on the average night, you know, a starting caliber player. We just need one of you to look like a starting caliber player on any given night. It doesn't matter if it's A.J. Green. It doesn't matter if it's Taurean Prince. It doesn't matter if it's Gary Trent Jr. So I like that theory of team building.
Yeah, and I think they learned that from last year that they needed to do that. Matt Issa joining us on the Mason Crosby Show, No Mason on Wednesdays. Follow him on Twitter at MattIssa15. That's Matt with one T. So it's MattIssa15. You'll have the opportunity to follow along with a true NBA insider all year long. Somebody else I want to get your take on, because I'm interested to, you know, I think every NBA fan is just a little interested on, to see what Wemby does in his second season. Victor Wembanyama, the San Antonio Spurs. He was fun to watch last year, but it did not translate into wins. What do you see from Wemby in year two?
You want to hear my, like, spicy take?
Let's do it. You know what, Matt? I'm not here for the milquetoast takes. I'm here for the spicy takes.
I'm personally, and this is going to be crazy, people are going to get angry with me and say I don't love the sport or something like that, but I'm kind of bored of watching Wemby, to be honest.
Wow. Already bored of Wemby.
It's just people talk about him, like, nonstop. Like, he, like, does things and, like, first of all, you know, he's a freak. He's got a chance of being the greatest player that ever lived. That's no doubt. But, like, you know, you go on Twitter and you just see people posting these clips of him, like, doing this thing. And, like, sometimes it's things you've never seen before. But other times it's like, you know, like, Kristaps Porzingis could do that, or Chet Holmgren can also do that. Like, there are, like, a couple of guys who can still do that. Like, we're not looking at an alien in that moment. But, and then people are so quick to, like, I've seen a lot of people say, and this goes back to your original question, like, he's going to be a top 10 player this year. And I just don't know if I'm there yet. I think last year if you asked me to rank the top 25 players in the NBA, he probably would be on it, like to end the season. I think he was that good. But from what I've read, I haven't watched him too much in the preseason. What I've read, it doesn't seem like he's taken any leap to like move me off that spot for now.
Okay.
So I'd say like I think he'll for sure be on an all-star team. Maybe an all-NBA team, but I don't think he'll be like challenging for like an MVP vote or anything.
What I'm curious about with him is, and I admittedly did not do this last year. Maybe I'll get a chance to do it a little bit this year, is like, what does he look like during a 48-minute game? Because we all see the highlights. We all see the crazy, you know, two steps from the three-point line to dunk, or the blocks, or, you know, the cool alley-oops where he comes out of nowhere. But what does he look like during a 48-minute game? Like, is he in the right defensive position? I mean, he can make up so much of it with his wingspan, but is he in the right spot? Offensively, is he doing some of those little things that you need a teammate to do to get wins, not just highlights?
Yeah, I think he does all of that. I mean, the question with that 48 minutes, right, is it how much are the Spurs going to push him? How much are they willing to push him?
Because he sat a lot last year.
Yeah, I mean, even when he did play, it was more like 26, 29 minutes. And I don't know if it's maybe one of those Manu Ginobili things where it's like he can be like really, really good for 29 minutes, but you probably don't want him to hit that 35, 36-minute mark every night.
Cause he just
doesn't compete with his play style, but I mean, you know, he does all the little things. I think just the thing holding him back right now is really just, and this is going to be a broken record, 1990s old guy take, but the physicality. Like, he's not super physical compared to a lot of the guys his size. I don't think that's a hot take. So we'll see how he can adjust that this year, how much he's going to let guys push him off of his spots. I also think he's going to benefit a great deal from having 48 minutes of adequate point guard play, Chris Paul and Trey Jones, to set him up for lobs and whatnot.
Absolutely. His body reminds me a little bit of Giannis in his early years. You know, I mean, Giannis is 243 listed now, but when he came over, he was 180. I mean, that's a 60-pound difference, and if they can figure out a way for Wemby to put on muscle, that changes everything.
Mitch, am I allowed to poke holes at Milwaukee Bucks advertising campaigns?
Absolutely. Yeah, feel free.
One of my biggest pet peeves about the sport in general is when I hear like people say like Giannis put on 40 pounds of pure muscle in the summer, because that's like physically impossible.
So true, agreed.
Unless he was like juicing, which I don't believe he was. I think he probably built up a good deal of muscle over time. But unless he was juicing, like it's just humanly impossible to put on that much pure muscle. They did the same thing with Wemby, actually. They said he put on 15 pounds of pure muscle. I'm just reading that report. I'm like, well, how do they know it's pure, first of all, right? And then second, if you're training naturally, you can only really put on like 1 to 2 pounds of muscle a month. So I don't know. That's just my little gripe with
that's
that.
That's fair.
Giannis, obviously, Adonis, great shape. If he saw me in a back alley, I probably wouldn't be making it home.
No, you want him. You want him on your side in that alley. What I would say about Giannis is that, and I don't know, like, you know, I don't know how much we'll get this ever truly verified. My guess is that when he came over, he was pretty well malnourished, and so I think part of that putting on the muscle wasn't necessarily that he put on pure muscle. It was just that he got healthy.
Yes.
Because I've actually said this out loud about Thanasis as well. You know, Giannis came over at 6'8" and shot up to 6'11", 7 feet. I wonder if Thanasis had come over 3 years earlier, if he could have gone from 6'5" to 6'8". Because if you look at his body and how wide and big his shoulders are, I think there was some malnourishment there too. And I wonder if his body would have grown in a different way with the right nutrition.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that's outside of the scope of my...
Yes, mine too. Like, that is pure conjecture. I have no idea. I'm not a nutritionalist. But we saw Giannis grow in a way that Thanasis didn't when they came over. So, and I know Thanasis is a couple years old. Anyway, that's enough of that. Did the Celtics send a message last night?
No, I don't think they did.
No? Okay.
I've only seen parts of that game. I'm going to rewatch it after we get off this call. But just from looking at the box score, shooting crazily from three, like, it's just, you know, you're going to have games where you're red hot. They shoot a lot of threes. It's their math. They play the math, right? They,
yep.
they want to beat teams with the three ball, but there's a lot of volatility in that style still. Have I told you about my skepticism of the Celtics this year?
No. What do you got?
Okay. Well, I mean, you could do this with every team, right? But people, I think, are overlooking how volatile the center position is for the Boston Celtics right now. You got Kristaps Porzingis, notorious injury bug guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
You never wish that on anybody, but he's out. He's out right now for what,
yes, he is.
2-3 months?
Yes, he is. Yeah, for at least 2 months. Like, they're looking, they're hoping December.
Exactly, and that's hopeful, right? You never really, usually the most positive, the most optimistic outlook is never the one that you get.
Right.
But, so you have that, right? And then you have Al Horford, who last season was phenomenal in the playoffs, but a big reason why is because he played the least minutes of his career in the regular season on a per-game basis, right?
Yep.
Now you're going to have to ride on this guy. And he's what? He's going to be 39 years old this year.
He's old, man. He is old.
Center. So, like, what happens if, say, like we talked about with Brook Lopez, what happens if he falls off a little bit? Then you're going to be relying. That's a huge drop-off. I love, like, Luke Kornet, Xavier Tillman's a Michigan State guy like me. He's awesome. But, like, that is a huge drop-off from, like, a good version of Al Horford to one of those two. And, like, yep, you can say, like, oh, in the playoffs, you know, they had their moments. There's a big difference between coach going, like, hey, dude, give me your five best minutes ever in the NBA Finals, and a coach being like, hey, I need you for, like, 25 minutes a night, you know?
Very different. I totally agree.
The center position, and if that happened, like, you know, you never wish anything on any team, but if Horford's not himself, Kristaps never stays healthy, I think the Celtics are very, very human, very beatable.
I think their hope is that with Kristaps rehabbing, that the second half and into the playoffs, he gets healthy and stays healthy. But like you said, I mean, we even saw it in the playoffs last year. He missed a couple games here and there because he's not a guy who can play 30 plus minutes per game and stay healthy on a regular basis. So we will definitely keep our eye out for that. All right, final predictions for this year. Do you have a NBA Finals championship prediction for this year?
So I'm actually going to go Thunder, Knicks, and I think the Thunder will win the NBA title.
Okay. They did win the West last year. They were clearly a little under experienced in the playoffs. But you think that carries over to this year and they can do it again?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, now Jalen Williams, Shea, and Chet are all battle-tested. I think they addressed their two biggest offseason needs with Alex Caruso and Isaiah Hartenstein. You still have, like, young guys like Cason Wallace and Anthony Wiggins kind of just hiding there in plain sight. I think they're a really well-constructed role. I think they're by far, like, the most talented team in the NBA right now. It's just about, you know, staying healthy and gelling together.
Yep, I hear you. He is Matt Issa. Follow him on Twitter, at MattIssa15. He writes for Forbes.com. You have other sites you write for as well. You cover the Pistons pretty regularly. You're doing it all in the NBA right now, Matt.
Oh yeah. I'll be there tonight. Pistons home opener against the Indiana Pacers. So that'll be a lot of fun. You can see old Tyrese Haliburton in action. You can see how Cade Cunningham stacks up against him.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and we'll do it. We'll check in periodically throughout the NBA season.
Sounds good, Mitch. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. He is Matt Issa. We thank him for jumping on the show, and some realism for the Bucks. As he said, the ceiling is there is no roof on the ceiling. We don't know what the ceiling could be, but it comes down to 30-year-olds staying healthy for a long period of time.
Yeah, and the window is closing, so
There's no roof on the ceiling, but the window's closing.
Correct, yes.
How is a home improvement company not sponsoring this analysis?
That sentence right there, yes.
Seriously. Quick programming update reminder, Marcus Johnson of the Bucks broadcast team is going to be on with Sparky at 2:40 today. That's some can't-miss radio, 2:40 today. Marcus Johnson joining Sparky on Wisconsin Sports Daily, and that should be a blast as well. Coming up, we will get into your Bucks predictions. They are wild on Twitter. We asked for how many wins, but we also want to know what you're most looking forward to, what concerns you the most. We'll get into NBA prop bets in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to hear again from Brendan McManus. We'll replay that interview with Mason Crosby from yesterday as well. Thanks again to Matt Issa, Forbes.com NBA writer, for jumping on the show. He's Tommy Wirtz. My name's Mitch Nellis. It's the Mason Crosby No Mason No Mason on Wednesdays. We got to get that hashtag going. Mason No Mason Wednesdays. That's a long hashtag. We're live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan at Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.